24 minutes to 10, ABC Far North. Normally, what happens in Vegas is meant to stay in Vegas, but not this morning, because we're welcoming back to the radio our business futurist, Morris Mislowski. He's always got his eye on the future, and earlier this month, very much had his eye on the world's biggest consumer electronics conference, CES, which brings together more than 160,000 gadget-loving nerds to Las Vegas. And he's here this morning, returning to ABC Far North, to bring his highlights and the trends. Because, of course, what happens at CES is ultimately stuff that tends to find its way into your living room. Morris Mislowski, welcome back.
And welcome here to the future.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, 2017. Now, look, first up, you'll need to set the scene for some people who might not be familiar with what CES is. I tried to give a sense in the introduction there, but I don't think it gives justice to what a massive thing it is.
It doesn't. It's really difficult unless you go there. I mean, CES is nerdvana. It's that annual pilgrimage that all of the nerds and the geeks and the technologists and anybody else who's interested in what that new space might look like go to every January. It's been going since the 1950s. It's the place where we first saw the microwave, we first saw the video recorder, we first saw the CDs. Really, every first of technology that we have has come about in CES. And Apple was there up until about 6 or 7 years ago and decided to branch off. So even Apple's stuff going back beyond that was always showcased at CES. As you said rightly, 180,000 people. Literally, it's a 3-day plus 1-day media, so 4-day show. In 4 days, it's impossible for anybody, and I've tried it many times, impossible to see the entire show. That's how large it is.
No question. I've never been. I have watched it from afar, though, and generally tend to like look at things with interest as well, because there also seems to be almost a speeding up, Morris, of the time period that it takes for things to appear at CES and for them to actually become things that are real, that you can actually buy.
It does. Remembering that we're living in a time of great influx. It's difficult because none of us have been around before, but from my reading of history and understanding of technology, we kind of had one new technology, you know, the radio, the steam engine, the printing press, all wonderful, wonderful things, but we had a while to gestate and there wasn't much else competing with that. And right now we might have 100, 1,000, I mean, however many things competing for our attention. That's why CES seems so busy. So many different pieces of technology in one show and so many things for you and I and the listeners to get to terms with, to understand whether they're going to be important or part of our lives.
Yeah, almost countless things, from big screen TVs, wearables, drones. So there's great stuff, there's not so great stuff, and there's lots of really weird stuff as well, I think it's safe to say, Morris. Do you want to take us through some of the highlights that you saw this year?
So for me, I always look for the themes. I'm always trying to understand what is it that the show overall is showing us about the next year or two ahead. This year for me, the show was wonderful as ever, but it was, much as last year, there wasn't a real clear winner. Sometimes you go to the show and there's one technology, one thing that just overarches everything else, and you know that's going to be the next big thing. For me, it's kind of the conversation I've had for the last few years too, that I think we're getting to the point of what I call adulthood with our technology, meaning that we've had lots of stuff invented and like kids in a candy store, we just couldn't get over it. We've reached this plateau where we're saying, look, we've heard of a lot of stuff, we know it has possibilities, but just show us what we're going to do with it, just make sense of it. And CES seems to be that. It seems to be taking technologies like the Internet of Things, which are going to connect up all sorts of things, artificial intelligence, which is computers thinking for us, drones, automatic cars, autonomous cars, and all those sorts of things were all on display, but perhaps in the next evolution of what they might be.
Yeah, okay. So the kind of things that have been around as ideas, starting to actually see how they might work, Morris? Is that pretty much.
So autonomous cars, we've talked about, the world's talked about for a while. I've been on about it for about 15, 20 years. Last year, the year before, 2 years ago, we saw the first autonomous cars at CES. And in the last 3 years, it's almost become a car show. There's one entire pavilion towards cars. Last year, we saw lots of new gadgets. This year, we saw again many autonomous cars, but they were perhaps one or two steps ahead from last year. We began to see new interiors, or we did see new interiors this year, which we've not seen before. A lot of those are electronic, so the dashboards kind of disappeared, and anything that we need to see comes up on that screen. Remembering that these pods and a lot of these are prototypes, are things that we'll drive in but not have to have control over. So the walls, the ceilings, the floors are all taking on screens. So we're beginning to see a whole lot of stuff inside these pods, and that was this year's conversation. Autonomous cars, definitely part of it. an interesting thing for me was that NVIDIA, which is the chip maker, one of the chip makers that a lot of us have used in our computers and phones, a familiar word, is very much into artificial intelligence in cars, and they promoted quite a big stand that they were in this to play hard. So that was another pointing towards autonomous cars and the technology inside of them.
Their chip making is primarily about graphics. So how does that sort of tie in? Is that what you're talking about in terms of the dashes then being some kind of just electronic display completely?
No, they were taking another step. So definitely used for that, but they were talking very much about playing in this artificial intelligence space, which is the thought that computers might be able to do some of the thinking for us. Lots of conversations over the last decade or so about whether that was possible. New technologies over the last few years are beginning to make it possible. I still don't like the term. I don't think that we're anywhere near computers actually thinking like humans. And I say that because we don't know how we think. We technically don't know how the brain thinks. So it's difficult to teach somebody to do something we don't know how to do. But what we have are very, very fast computers, and they can crunch information far quicker than the human mind can. And that's what we're seeing. That's where NVIDIA is headed, with their computing power to be able to grunt a whole lot of information together and pump out the other end useful information, like road conditions, like hazards and other things that the car might need to know.
Yeah, okay, so and that Internet of Things idea, because a lot of this is convergence, isn't it, Maurice? It's bringing together all of the various bits that you've been talking about for quite some time into actual practical applications. So were there many of those?
There wasn't as many as previous years. It's interesting because in previous years, huge banners, huge stands, lots and lots of things. Now, this year there certainly were, but they were more as if they'd already existed. So they're talking about Internet of Things as if it's already part of an everyday activity. It's not the next big thing. It's just expected to be inside of technology. And what we saw were the connected homes, which is doors opening for us, heating and air conditioning, turning on and off, windows, all those kinds of things we've become accustomed to. We saw our appliances beginning to use artificial intelligence to be able to theoretically speak with us or us to it. One of the most interesting positions around this Internet of Things artificial intelligence was the rise of Alexa. Now, Alexa is the voice that Amazon uses, so it's the equivalent of Siri if people are used to it on their Apple phone, or Cortana in Microsoft. It's that non-keyboard, non-mouse way of interacting using human voice with your technology. And Alexa, Amazon's Alexa, surprisingly even to Amazon, was this year's outstanding hit. There must have been hundreds and hundreds, literally, of devices that are using that core technology for us to be able to talk to it and it to then to do things.
Yeah, well, look, didn't Amazon Echo even turn up in a court case in the United States in recent weeks, Morris, where stuff that it recorded ended up being actually entered into court as evidence?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right, but it's a strange thing for us to say. You know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, we said that's just impossible, that's science fiction. But it seems evident that in the next 2, 3, by 5 years, definitely, that for whatever reason, many of us will be talking to our appliances, to our doors, to our cars, and it will be answering back to us. I'm still getting my head around what that world has looked like. You know, many of us have been accused in the past of talking to strange things that aren't there. But all of a sudden, we're all going to be chattering to this technology, aren't we?
Strange things that aren't there. Morris Mislowski with us, our business futurist. He's taking us through CES 2017, the massive consumer electronics and gadget show that happens in Vegas every year. So from those great things that sort of swept the pool, Morris, what were the ones that didn't work out so well, might have fallen off the edge of the stage in a non-literal sense?
And look, they're always interesting. Like every show, there are single booths, you know, the one-offs, the people who have the great thoughts of what it might be. These were some of the ones that tickled my fancy. One, because I don't have much hair, was that there was a L'Oreal Kerestan hair coach, which is a brush, and as you brush your hair, it's doing all these wonderful calculations of how many times and how deep and giving you advice on how better to brush your hair. I'd love to say I have use for it, but perhaps the listeners do and they might want to spend some money on it. But that was one that I loved. There was one that, as quirky as it seems, the more I think about it, the more I think perhaps it might become useful to many people. It's called Foldimate, F-O-L-D-I-M-A-T-E. And you put your laundry, so you put your shirt and perhaps your your clothes and other things at the top of it, and it folds it for you.
Wow. That's remarkable. That pretty pricked up my interest, absolutely.
Yep, so look, I've seen these before and they've never come to market, but all of a sudden this one appears to be, with a fourth quarter, in other words the last half of this year, a likely time for it. So that was worth, you know, at least a look. One of my absolute favourites was a device called the Umbrella, which is spelled O-M-B-R-E-L-L-A. It's a smart umbrella that will market for $79, and I say that with a facetious voice. It has the wonderful ability to be able to tell you if it's raining outside and if you need to take the umbrella with you.
Morris, absolutely brilliant. It's so great also to just see things that you've talked about over the last year or so find their convergence at this, and I certainly look forward to having my wireless umbrella. That means it could do anything, right? If it's connecting to the internet, Morris, you could do remarkable things with it.
Oh, absolutely. The mind boggles what you could do with it. But again, it's these quirky things, and there always are these wonderful little devices. I'm sure somebody thought it was a good idea, and I'm sure some people think it is, but let's wait and see if the market can't live without it.
Indeed, I can't live without my little robot assistant. Morris Mislowski, thanks so much for your time. We'll catch you again in 2 weeks.
Pleasure as always.
That's Morris Mislowski. Future Curious Times is the name of his e-magazine you can check out. And if you just search for Morris Mislowski, you'll get there. Businessfuturist.com is his website.